ladies and gentlemen, critters and creatures. My name is Jared, and with me is the beautiful butterfly herself, Anna.
Oh, hello there.
We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we're at the Two Top Table, taking a look at Everdell Duo, designed by James A. Wilson and Clarissa A. Wilson. Artwork created by Engar Adirasa and Andrew Bosley, and published by Starling Games and Rebel SP Zoo.
In Everdell Duo, two players come together to gather resources and create the perfect village, attempting to harmonize their actions with one another in hopes of taking on the various challenges of an expansive campaign. Or two players can come together to go head-to-head and compete to create the greatest woodland village of all time. The winner gets all the bragging rights, and they get the opportunity to take a nap beneath the wonderful Everdell tree. Join the table as we discuss Everdell Duo. So, Jared.
Yes?
I have a question for you.
Okay.
This game is all about building your village.
Or city, depending on your perspective.
Or city, depending on your perspective. But you've got to use the cards that are in the game.
Sure, sure.
So, my question is, if you just had a blank canvas and you were building your own village, what would be a must-have feature?
Ooh, are we talking about only things that are in the game or literally anything that
no,
I want?
No, blank canvas. Make up your own cards here.
Oh, my. Okay, so I think I have no choice but to say that any great village needs a gaming cafe. I think it just enhances the whole experience. It brings in tourism from out of town. It gives the locals a place to relax and refresh. It gives the owners the ability to exchange coin. It's perfect. I just think if I were to, I could have it be the cornerstone of my village, I think.
How very inspiring.
Yes. What about you?
Well, I guess, so I was thinking, actually, when we were talking earlier, I was thinking about back when I was kids and would try to build forts, you know, like in teepees and tree houses. And I think if I were going to build my own village, it would have to just be made out of tree houses, I feel like.
I think that's a great answer.
Yeah. And so there'd be these interconnecting tree houses, and sure, there could be a game cafe tree house, and there could be, you know, your fashionista tree house where you go and get all blinged up, and there'd be a tree house where you could go and hang out and have restaurants, and they'd all be connected by these rope bridges up in the treetops. That would be my village.
So do you feel like you would need a center tree like the Everdell tree, or
it would most assuredly have a center tree like the Everdell tree? That would be almost like the community meeting room, kind of like a student center in like a college campus or
something.
It's like that's the hub, that's where everything happens. And maybe if it was a big enough tree, like for example the Everdell tree, You could have the center of it be the hub, and then even have little tree houses up on the branches that have like restaurants or things like that. That's my village.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like you took the concept of taking a single thing and then made it the whole thing.
Well, I am a big picture person. You know me.
I was actually thinking that in my mind as that revelation.
Anna can't think of one feature without having the whole blueprint behind it.
The whole thing has to be interconnected.
We have to know the big thing before we get to the details. Come on now.
We're all connected.
You know me. You know.
I do. Well, you know this game, so can you tell us how to play?
Yeah, definitely. So, for those of you that have played the big game of Everdell, Everdell Duo is similar in that you're trying to build and maintain the most prosperous forest cities. And you're kind of like the mayor of your city, trying to build it up with resources and buildings and attract critters from far and wide and plan special events. Now, the duo in the title, though, I believe is a little bit misleading because this is actually a one or a two-player game. And in fact, there are four different ways to play this game. You can play it competitive with two players, cooperative with two players. You can play the campaign mode with one or two players. And you can also play through a challenge mode with either one or two players, where you try to accomplish different achievements with varying difficulty levels. So I'm going to give just a brief overview of the two-player competitive version, and then explain how that would change if you played one of the other three versions. So just like in the bigger game of Everdell, although you do not have to have played that to enjoy this one, this is a worker placement game where you will place your workers to gain resources, which you will then trade in for cards that will be added to your city. Certain cards can work together and make it cheaper to buy cards later on, and there are also achievements or events that you can work towards that will give you extra points for earning them. Players will choose to play either as the tortoise or the hare, and will play around a common board with 12 cards turned up at all times in the meadow. The board has 4 farm locations where players can go to get resources that do not change, and 2 river locations that do change. There's also locations at the top where you can go to get resources, but they don't give quite as many as the river and farm locations. When it is your turn, you will perform one of 3 possible actions. You will either place a worker and gain the resources from the location where you placed your worker, or you may also place one of your workers on an event if you meet the listed requirements and achieve that event. The second action you can do is to play a card and trade in your resources to add that card to your city. And the third action you can do is choose to pick a card out of the meadow or off of the draw deck. Just like in the base game of Everdell, there are green production cards, blue governance cards, tan travel cards, red destination cards, and purple prosperity cards. And cards are also labeled either as critters or constructions. These distinctions are important for helping your cards combo later in the game and achieve events. Here's the catch though. Depending on which action you choose, you will also be progressing a sun or a moon token down a path that has 6 spaces on it. So each time you place a worker, you'll move the sun one time. Each time you play a card, you'll move the moon. And each time you pick a card, you will either move the sun or the moon. Once the moon has reached the end of the track, nobody else will be able to play a card. And once the sun has reached the end of the track, no one else will be able to play a worker. So you have to be strategic with when you do these actions to make sure you can get everything done before the end of the season. Because when both the sun and the moon tokens reach the end of the path, the season is over and the next season begins. To start the next season, players will take back all their workers, move the sun and the moon tokens back to the beginning of the track, and perform the actions listed in the next season card. After 4 seasons, the game is over, and players will tally points on cards, purple bonus points, point tokens, and events. The player with the most points is the winner. So, that was the 1v1 version, but in the cooperative city building version, instead of competing against each other to build a city, you'll be working together to try to build the best city possible. And you can check the rulebook to see how well you did at the end. If you play the campaign version of the game, you can play either as 1 or 2 players. And if you play as 1 player, you'll be playing both the tortoise and the hare. And you will go through 15 chapters of challenges. There'll be slight rule changes each time that make it interesting until the very end. And if you decide to play in the challenge mode, you will be playing against a skunk bot that will block events and locations and even spaces for the sun and the moon. This limits your option and is a real challenge to play. The challenge mode has easy, normal, and hard difficulties and 10 different challenges that you can play through. So, now that we know a little bit about how to play, let's get back to the table and discuss.
All right. Well, Anna, catch your breath. There's a lot to go through there.
Yeah. I mean, 4 games in 1 box. what are you going to do, right?
I don't know. Like, really, you've got competitive and cooperative and technically solo.
You've got competitive, cooperative, solo, and campaign.
I mean, you are correct. You can play just a one-off cooperative game versus going through the campaign, but it's essentially the same thing.
I don't know.
I think so. But regardless, we'll quickly talk about the artwork, and then we'll talk about some things that kind of drew us in and things like that. The artwork is very similar to Everdell. So if you are familiar with Everdell at all, it does take a lot of artwork from those boxes, which makes sense. You're like 500 games in on Everdell. So how much artwork can you come up with for cute critters, right?
I mean, it's also called Everdell Duo. I feel like people that love Everdell would be disappointed if they completely changed the artwork style.
100%. 100%. No, it's no critique. It's just if you're like a Everdell stan and you're hoping for new art, I would just go ahead and temper expectations because
it's not too new.
It's not. And that's okay. Like, I don't know that it needs to be for what it's trying to be here. But it is still cute. It's still fantastic.
But again, if we're talking to people that haven't played Everdell before, you're going to love the artwork because it's going to feel so cute. It's all woodsy and you have these little mice that are doing things and you do have little tree houses. And
yeah.
So, I mean, I think the artwork is beautiful. Just if you've gotten used to Everdell and are hoping for something brand new, it's not going to be brand new.
That's right. And it does do a good job of becoming more compact. So full size cards do go down to more of that micro sized cards, which on the one hand, you know, is a bit of a bummer because it's harder to see the art and the cards themselves, but it does take up a much smaller footprint on the table. And for me personally, there's no tree. And because there's no tree, we're happy.
Jared always had trouble seeing the tree.
No, I didn't want to see the tree. I wanted to see the other things that were part of the game.
I know. And the tree was displaying them gorgeously, and you didn't appreciate that. But it's fine.
I know. I'm yes, the villain here.
Instead, there is a meadow, and the meadow is in the game board. That's one thing that I do like about the design of it, is everything is in this game board. You have your cards in the game board, you have your tracks in the game board, you have your locations in the game board. So the only things that are off the game board are the four season cards and the event cards that you can achieve at the end, or not at the end, but if you go there and you meet the requirements. So that's nice, because when it was Jared's turn, he could scoot the whole game board over and look at the cards and read them because they were so little.
Yep. No, it was helpful. And I agree with you that the board flows very well. It's nice and streamlined, and you can tell that it's not their first game, especially in this universe, because everything just feels like it's where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, for sure.
I will say, for me, one of the things that really drew me in, I like Everdell. I like the concept behind Everdell. We both think that's really cute, but I feel like it does take some time to set up. It does take up a big footprint, and I don't always want that in a cutesy little build a quick village game. So I was looking to see if Everdell could kind of be that thing that kind of condenses and streamlines and makes it a much quicker experience. And I think it does do that. I think that you can easily play this game in half an hour.
Oh yeah, this is like Everdell Express.
Exactly, and it's super easy to set up. Everything's really, and like what that goes along with the board about not just a streamlined process flowing during the game, but set up as well. Everything, it's very easy where it's supposed to go. You can get up and going in a couple minutes at the most, and you're off to playing, which is great.
Agreed. Definitely. I'd say a draw for me was just the idea that the duo idea, or even for people that solo game, the solo idea, I think is a draw, because I mean, going through 15 chapters of a campaign, going through, you know, 10 different challenges at 3 different difficulty levels, it's a lot in there for a solo player. And Jared and I love Everdell. We've played the big game. We've played the kids version with our kids. And so the idea of having one that could go a little bit faster and be a little bit quicker to set up was really appealing to us. So we could stay in this world, in this genre of Everdell that we love, without having to take all night.
And the cooperative mode was something that we were both very interested in. They do pack a lot into this little box.
Yeah.
And so not just for solo players, but as a, whether it's a couple or just two people wanting to get together to play a game, there's lots of puzzly options in here. I do think that with the cooperative side, which we'll get to later, it does require a little bit of shifting in how you think about things. Really, even the competitive mode has a couple mechanics in this one that require you to shift the way that you would normally think about Everdell, because there are some mechanics that kind of keep you on a clock as opposed to maximizing all the different things that you could do in your village.
Yes, I'd say some of the biggest new mechanics are the Sun and Moon tokens that make it go a lot faster. And the other new feature, which is a modification of an old Everdell feature. So in the base game Everdell, there are certain cards that will go together and they'll kind of combo together. So this has a more streamlined version of this, where which is called Occupied Tokens. So You can play critter cards by paying their cost in berries. But if you have a construction and it's the same color as a critter that you're going to play, you can go to a place on the board where instead of giving you resources, it'll give you an occupied token. And then you can play the critter with the occupied token. And if you already have a structure in your village that matches the color, you can basically get that critter for free or just for the cost of the occupied token. That felt like a new component, but I mean, it was more of a streamlined version of an old component in Everdell.
This is such a great upgrade. I'm always, whenever a game re-implements another game that it's in the same family of, I'm looking for ways that it modifies or improves upon what had come before. And I always like the concept of, well, if you have card A, you get card B for free. Well, that's awesome, except you've given me a deck of 200 cards and the odds of me finding the card that I need.
You can spend all day looking for card B.
Right. Like, I don't want to feel like I won because of luck of the draw. I want to feel like I won because I actually put something together here.
See, that is so funny. Oh, go ahead.
Finish. Oh, no, I was just going to finish with, so I like the fact that you've taken it from specific card A to specific card B to color A matches color B, but you've got to do a little bit of extra work to get the token that you need to be able to implement that upgrade.
See, that's interesting that you say that you like that mechanic, because I probably would say I did not like that mechanic.
Oh, man.
I like the base game where specific cards will combo together and they make sense. And the idea of just the fact that you can just have any old structure and as long as it's the same color as a critter. I mean, there was one game where I think I got like the queen or one of like the really expensive ones for almost nothing just because I built a purple structure. I don't know. I felt like I was cheating.
But it adds to like that streamlined nature though, right? Like it's supposed to be quick, and even something as expensive as the queen, you should be able to pull quickly because the game's clipping as fast as possible.
That's true. You're saying that it would be hard to save up for the queen because of how fast the game moves.
I'm not saying it would be impossible. I'm just saying like the game wants you to have that streamlined feel of success, and it's doing that in a faster way than you would in like a normal Everdell game.
I get it. I just, again, it felt a little bit too simplistic. But again, and that might be something that's a pro for some people. For me, I liked having to think a little bit more about my card strategy. I didn't feel like I had to think as much about my card strategy in this one, probably because it moved faster and because there wasn't so much complexity with how cards would combo together. It was very straightforward. You would just, you know, get a structure and then you could get a critter.
That's interesting you say that, because I feel like some of the extra thinking comes in the new mechanic of the Sun and Moon. Because unlike in your normal Everdell game where you can just try to maximize your turns and go as slow as possible, you don't have that in this game. You have a clock. And so you got to decide, am I going to play this card and move one token, or am I going to play a critter and have to move the sun as opposed to the moon? Or am I going to do this other thing and I have the choice, do I move the sun or the moon, which is going to make it potentially harder for my opponent to be able to do the thing that they want to do.
It's true. And I did like that mechanic. I did like that. I felt like that was a fun way to make a two-player game feel more competitive without feeling directly cutthroat, I'm attacking you,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Because I could see you were going for something and move the sun to the end and then you couldn't get it that round. And I think, you know, that you don't do that as much when you're playing a big game of Everdell with four people, because everybody's got this, you know, huge grid of cards in front of them. It's hard to know their strategy, but when you're just playing one-on-one, it's a little bit easier to see the other person's strategy. And I think the sun and moon mechanic, yeah, I liked that one. I liked, it did make it go faster. You had to think about the progression of the sun and moon even while you were thinking about your city building. I just didn't like the other one. I just didn't like the card combo thing. It just felt too broken, I guess.
That's funny. I mean, that makes sense. You're the same person that said that if you won the lottery, you'd feel like you were cheating in life. So
it's true.
It makes sense.
Some things in life are just meant to be hard. And then you treasure them more. You know, that's my...
Wow.
I said it.
I mean, I feel like so you very typically chose the tortoise and I chose the hare in
yes.
this game. And that very much reflects our own little personalities a little bit, I guess.
Yes. You know, the tortoise is the one that actually wins in the fable too, right?
Oh, 100%. But in this game, that
so
wasn't
the
always
right
the case.
Choice.
That's debatable.
Anyway, any other mechanics that you liked about the game? Those are the two main ways that it was different, I would say.
Yeah. I
There were other differences.
There were other differences.
I mean, the events were a little bit different. The things at the start of each season were a little bit different, but...
You know what? There were a couple... Well, they might be in the game, and I just am not thinking... In the main game, and I'm just not thinking of them. But I ran across a couple of cards that I just loved, and like one in particular in one of the games that we played where I could just claim one of the events that I'd completed just for kicks when I played this critter. I loved that one so much. Like it, just playing it down to be able to get this extra bonus immediately without having to burn actions where actions are already a tight economy, and having other cards like that. I just really enjoy adding little cards in that change that action economy. And so I don't remember seeing that in the base game. Maybe I'm wrong, but I do remember in this game just being like, oh, there's a couple extra cards in here that have been really modified from what they look like in the base game.
Yeah, no, I get it. That was a good one. And I don't remember exactly. I mean, there were some cards that were the same. I assume there's some cards that are different,
yeah,
too. I didn't compare card to card with
right.
the other game.
No, that makes sense.
But again, I think we're talking to people that like Everdell. I think we're also talking to people that maybe Everdell was a little bit too weighty for you and or too weighty for your friend group and you're interested in trying it out. I mean, this is a much less weighty, much faster in the genre of Everdell. So,
or it might have been too weighty for your pocketbook. And I will
That's
go
true.
Ahead and throw in that you can get this game for $35, which is more than half technically, of the price of the base game MSRP. And we talked about in our episode with Ian and I that one of the things that holds a lot of people back from Everdell is that it's too high of a price. And so if you want to get in on this world but don't want to pay full price, I think this is a great starting point. If you've never gotten into Everdell or any of its games, this is a great place to start. And with the price point, with everything else, but I wanted to go ahead and throw that in there because I do think they got it right with the price point on this one. And I think that is a pro.
Yeah. And I think you could start out playing this one, get your feet wet, and then the bigger game wouldn't seem so challenging
right.
either. And I agree. Yeah. I mean, maybe price point, you just stick with the smaller one and you're happy and that's fine. But if you did want to go on to the bigger game, I think this would be a good way to ramp yourself up a little bit to it.
Completely
so,
agree.
Yeah.
All right. What about things you don't like?
Well, I already said I didn't like the cheater card combo thing.
I feel like that's just a personal problem.
I don't know.
But it is. It's your opinion.
It
so
is my
I
opinion.
Guess.
This is a podcast. I can say my opinion.
Oh, weird.
It's what we do here.
I still say it's a personal problem.
Okay.
No, but do you think the game's lacking? And I think it's easy to potentially see things that this game might be lacking because it is a streamlined, simplified version.
Yes. So I'll say the first couple times that we played this, I came away being like, I don't have any idea what to think about this because all I could see it as was just a stripped version of Everdell. And somebody that really does like Everdell, I don't know. I didn't know how I felt about playing a version that only took 30 minutes and left out a lot of the card complexity that the bigger game does. Now, again, I think if you started this one, that wouldn't even be a question because you won't have anything to compare it to. But as somebody that played Everdell first and then played this one, I felt just lacking in general because it felt like it was just too simple.
Right.
And... Yeah.
I think I agree with you. Especially on the co-op version. For me, the co-op was a disappointment. And I think hearing your comment and thinking about how I feel about cooperative, I almost don't want this to be called Everdell. I wish it was called something else so I could get that part out of my mind.
That's a good point.
And just focus on the puzzle.
If it was in the same world, but it was called something
else.
Yeah,
like if it was called something else, then I could like say, okay, this is a different kind of puzzle. Like, I want it to, because it says Everdell, I want it to be Everdell, but it's not Everdell. And you're trying to do a different thing in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think the campaign does offer this interesting puzzle, but I also feel like I'm not, like, we have to share a city in the cooperative mode. And I feel like I am not really building a city. Like, I think we...
You're talking about the challenge mode.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the challenge mode or campaign or whatever it is, like...
Because there's a cooperative mode where you don't play against the skunk, you just try to get a super high score. And then there's a challenge mode where you play against the skunk. And I feel like the frustrating one for you was the challenge mode when we played against the skunk.
The challenge mode, we both felt like we were playing half a game. And yeah, I mean, I get it. The skunk's there to be an obstacle.
Because you're already playing a very streamlined version of Everdell, and then what happens is when you add the skunk bot, is she goes around and she blocks half of your options. So then you've got two people trying to play with just half of a board. So yes, I think it's designed to be frustrating. It was called the challenge mode, but I'd say I don't think either one of us really enjoyed the challenge mode very much because it just felt like you're just frustrated and you don't have any choices whole time.
That's what it really felt like.
Yeah.
Like, I get what you're trying to do in that you're taking away options and you're like, okay, well, what are you going to do with this? But I'm like, well, I'm just going to do these two things and then be done, I guess.
Yeah, I know. Cause I only have two choices.
So I don't know. I liked the idea of something cooperatively in theory, but I don't know. It didn't pull me in.
Now, I will say, I think that maybe we did ourselves a disservice because we played the competitive two-player version of the game several times. And we're like, okay, this is fun. Let's go. And then we weren't quite ready to dive into the full 15-chapter campaign. So we were like, oh, hey, let's do this challenge mode. And we were reading through kind of quickly, learning the rules, and played the challenge mode and kind of got slapped with how challenging it was.
Yeah.
And I think we ended up, I mean, did we win the first game or we almost won the first game? We got really close to winning.
I think we lost the first one and then we won the second one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. We got close to winning the first one, but you just kind of felt like bad the whole time. But when I was reading, but when you go through the campaign, what it does is it adds aspects and rules as you go through the campaign that kind of almost work you up to some of the things that are included in the challenge mode. So I really think the way the game is intended to be played is, and it's the rule book's even written like this, is you learn the two player competitive and cooperative versions, and that's your basic rules. And then you play through the campaign, it adds different rules, it adds different skill sets. And then when you're done with the campaign, you can play this extra challenging thing. And I think the fact that we went to go play the challenge before playing through the campaign and working our way up to that may have contributed to our frustration. So I do want to add that because again, like even the rule book is laid out and like that's kind of the order that it lays those out.
Yeah, that's a fair caveat. But I think that's our big gripe. And it's a thing for, I said it already, it's a personal problem, right? Like we want a challenge and we want a big steak and potatoes meal instead of something light and fluffy. And I think this game is more in the light and fluffy. And I think that's fine. Like I said, you want it to be streamlined so that you can get it to the table quickly and be able to, it's a good, I saw someone say this, it's a good midweek game where you get home from work, you might be tired, you might have to wait till the kids go to bed, and then you want to pull out something quick to play before you go to bed. And this is perfect for that because it's quick, it's streamlined, it's easy to really get into. And a lot of the mechanics are streamlined. And so I think if that's what you're looking for, or if you're wanting a good Everdell entry point, then that's not going to be a problem for you. And at that point, I mean, I don't know that. I will say this. This is a fiddly thing. As much as I love the sun and moon mechanic, we forgot to move it a lot. And that can really change the game. And I wish there was some kind of a reminder or something that's like, hey, did you do this? Because it's such an important piece.
Yes. That's a small gripe of mine too, because in a lot of games where you've got, here's your actions, here's your steps, there's some sort of player aid or card that you can have in front of you to help you remember. And it's almost like the game assumes you've played Everdell or something because it doesn't have this quick reference. Here's your different colors of cards and what they mean. Here's your steps and what you can do. It doesn't have this nice quick reference player aid, which I think would be useful. Because if you're going through, do the steps, move the sun or moon, then, you know, pass the player token or whatever it is, you know, like some games do. So
for sure.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You got anything else that you don't like or anything that keeps that the game keeps you from wanting to achieve?
I mean, yeah, a couple other things. They kind of go within the same wheelhouse, I guess, of what we've already said. But I'll say there's a lot of cards, but we didn't see a lot of cards during our game. So that was kind of an interesting thing, is I expect when I've got a full deck of cards, I'm going to kind of go through them. And we didn't really as much, especially in the skunk version.
Yeah, that's true.
We didn't go through hardly any cards in the skunk version. And the other little thing that I didn't like quite as much is just I'm used to city builders where you feel like you've got a big city at the end. And just because this one goes fast, you kind of felt like you were still building, which is why, again, maybe if they rebranded it and it was like this prequel to Everdell or something like that,
yeah,
then it would almost make more sense that it's smaller, that it's going faster, that you don't have quite as big a city at the end. And so, but again, if you're expecting something like Everdell, then that feels disappointing that you don't have this big thing that you've built at the end.
No, I get that. I don't know. I'm not as bothered if the cards are not dependent on other cards in the deck.
Yeah.
I'm not as bothered by not seeing all the cards. In fact, I kind of prefer it because that means my replayability is higher. But in the normal Everdell game, you need specific cards, so it's more of a gripe for there. But I understand what you're saying. Like, if you're playing a game, you want to be able to see a good chunk of the cards. And if you don't, then you could get skewed towards a certain color or whatever. So I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, it is a primarily two-player game. And there's a decent amount of player interaction. I mean, you might miss out on something in the meadow because the other player takes it. We've already talked about the sun and moon mechanic and that interaction where you got to kind of decide, am I going to take the optimal move for me, or am I going to take this other move that might move the sun to the end of the track or the moon so that the other player can't do the thing that they want to do? But there's no like real direct engagement in a negative way, I guess, is how I'd say that. But anyways, so Anna, with all of these things, how would you grade this game?
Taking it all together, Jared, I think I would have to give this game a maybe a B minus. I think a B minus. Yep. That's what it would get. Because I think it's average in what it gives for a two-player game. I think, it's a good introduction to the concept of Everdell and the structure and the, you know, world of Everdell. And I would give it a C for average if it did not have the campaign and the chapters and the challenges and just so many different little puzzles in there. So I think if you're somebody that likes puzzles, I really think, I don't know why they didn't market this as a one-player version, honestly. Because I feel like that would make a lot more sense for all the puzzles that they put in there. But one or two players, that's what would bump it up to me, is because there's so many different puzzles and challenges in there.
I figured we'd be close on this. I'm going to give it a B.
Okay.
I don't want to penalize it because it's streamlined. I mean, it's that's what it's supposed to be. That's the whole design, is to be a streamlined version that's very accessible for lots of people. And I think it does that. And I think if you give this one a shot, my encouragement, as Anna said, is to treat it as not Everdell, but as
it's a prequel.
Entirely new experience. Yeah, you're just little Anakin Skywalker right now. You don't need to worry about being Darth Vader. That's for a later time.
Yeah, there's other prequels than Star Wars, right?
No, there's not.
Okay.
No, I just think that if you come at it with a fresh mindset instead of more Everdell, then I think you're going to enjoy the puzzles and the campaign and the various things that this particular game has to offer. And if you're an Everdell collector, you've probably already got it. But I do think it differentiates itself enough that it has its own space, which is the good. So, with all that said, We thank you all so much for listening. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Check out our website at thegametablepodcast.com. Shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or find us on BoardGameGeek. All these links are in the description. 5-star reviews, subscribing to your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. These heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for her cover art, to Anna Snyder who made the intro and outro music, and to Alexi Chistelin for the How to Play background music. Join us next week as we head over to the kids' table. I think we're doing the kids' table next week. You guys, this month is a mess. It's an absolute mess. But we're going to continue on somehow. But in the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.